We were talking about the Shaila that came up, and that is somebody who had been wearing tefillin for many years, and it turned out that after many years of wearing them, they finally got them checked, and after getting them checked, they realized that there was a number of words that were missing. Not that they got rubbed out, they were completely missing from the Parshiyos HaTefillin, and the question that they raised was, what exactly are they supposed to think? What are they supposed to feel? And I think this is a very important question. First of all, because it happened here, so it's relevant. It's something that if it can happen to one person, it can happen to many. And here, he discussed this issue in Siman Zayin. He writes, Misha badak tfilav v'nimtzu psulim v'nafsho aguma alav. And the person is very depressed, they're very upset. Al bitul mitzvah tfilin, over the fact that all these years that they were wearing that pair of tefillin, they were mevatel the mitzvah saseh. Val brachas levatela shabirech bizman shahi psulim. All the years he made a bracha levatela every day, lahaniach tefillin, al mitzvah tefillin, keitzad yashav b'tshuva l'saken eschetu. So the question is, how should a person try and do tshuva? What should a person be thinking when such a terrible thing happens to them? So just to give some background before we read the first paragraph. And the background goes as follows. The Yerushalmi Maseches Erevin quotes the following halacha, Tanya. Tfilin sarach lebadkan pam achas l'shneim asar chodesh. Says the Yerushalmi, we have an obligation to check our tfilin once every 12 months. Divrei Rebbe, that is the opinion of Rebbe. Reb Shimon Gamliel disagrees, and he says, you don't have an obligation to check them once every 12 months. We have a concept called chazaka, and the same way you can base yourself and rely upon the chazaka in every other area of halacha, the same would be here as well. I have a right to assume that my tefillin are kosher and nothing has changed. And therefore he says, Ein antzricha bedika. They don't need a bedika at all. Everything can be left and assume that it was kosher the same way it was written. So too it's kosher now. Hillel hazakein omer. Hillel says, Tefillin elu. He held up his pair of tefillin and he says, these tefillin that I'm holding are my avi imahein. These are my grandfather's tefillin. So that seems to be an indication that Hillel is also of the opinion that we have a right to rely ourselves and base ourselves off of the chazaka, and we have nothing to be concerned about. There's a similar discussion that we find in the Medrash Tanchuma. I'm sorry, in the Mechilta, a Medrash Halacha, where the Medrash tells us as follows, commenting on the pasuk in Parashas Bo, Vishamarta es hachuka hazos lemoada miyamim yamima. It says you're supposed to keep this mitzvah miyamim yamima. So what does it mean? From one year to the next, from one day to the next. So number one, the Gemara Menachos is not sure exactly what this pasuk is referring to. Machlokas from Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva, which mitzvah is the pasuk referring to when it says you should make sure to be vigilant and careful to keep this mitzvah properly? One of the Tanaim says it's referring to tefillin. And from here we learn, says the Medrash, that tefillin need to be checked once every 12 months, miyamim yamima. And therefore he says, that is why the pasuk says you have to be v'shamarta, you have to be involved in the mitzvah, and you cannot just assume that everything's going to remain the same. You have to check it every 12 months and make sure that they are still kosher as they were the last time you checked. However, other Tanaim are of the opinion that this pasuk is not at all referring to tefillin, and this pasuk is referring merely to Karban Pesach, and is telling you that once a year you have an obligation to do the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. It has nothing at all to do with our discussion here with regard to tefillin. So this is a major issue that the Medrash raises, and again, one opinion in the Medrash is you have to check once every 12 months. The other opinion in the Medrash is you don't have to check at all. Why? Because you have a right to rely on the chazaka and assume that nothing has changed, that everything remained the same, and that your tefillin are kosher the same way they were the last time you checked on them. Yeah. So that's the question. How did they come off to even assume that maybe this is talking about tefillin? That's a good question. And it trickles down, it happens to be, it trickles down to a machlokas between the Rosh and the Rambam also. How to understand that pasuk? The maskana, it's not so clear. But either way, that's with regard to that. The Rosh writes in Maseches Menachos that, in his opinion, he quotes in the name of the Shimusha Rabbah. What happened? We're supposed to have a Hilula? No. So, okay. So the Rosh writes in the name of the Shimusha Rabbah, Dechayavim livdok es ha-tfilin pamayim b'shavua. A shavua means a seven-year cycle. He says, you have an obligation to check the tefillin twice every 7 years, the same way you're supposed to do for a mezuzah. That is what the Rosh quotes from the Shimusha Rabbah, and the Rosh disagrees with him, and he says, why would you have to do that? Buy a mezuzah which is outside, and the climate's changed, and it's hot, and it's cold, and it's raining, and it's snowing. So then you have to be concerned that once every 7 years, twice every 7 years, you have to take off the mezuzah and have it checked, because you never know what happened to it. But when we talk about the tefillin, why should we assume that anything happened to the tefillin? You take your tefillin out in your box from shul every day, You put it back into the box after davening is over, nothing happens to it. It's not like there was a flood in shul. It's not like it was too hot, it was too cold, or the climate's changed. So why should we assume that there's any reason to do it? Says the Rosh, in his opinion, he thinks, tefillin ain't tzricha medika. Tefillin do not need a medika at all, and you have a right to rely on the chazaka and assume that the tefillin are kosher. That is what the Rosh's opinion is. Now, how do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? Says the Shulchan Aruch as follows, tefillin shehuchziku bekashrus. If you have tefillin that you had checked, or when they were written, you made sure that a sofer looked at them and they were written carefully. Einam tzricha medika liolam. You never have to check them, says the Shulchan Aruch. Vim einam manichan ela lefrakim tzricha medika pamayim b'shavua. If you don't wear them so often, says the Shulchan Aruch, you never know what happened to them in the interim. Maybe people were mishandling them, maybe people weren't careful with them and they got ruined. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, a regular person that wears the tefillin every day, they come to shul, they use the same pair, they put them away after davening, they're in the same place, and nothing unusual happened to them in that sort of situation, says the Shulchan Aruch, you have no obligation to check your tefillin at all. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that this would be the case with a regular tefillin. However, he says, if we know that people sweat a lot or people have all kinds of other scenarios, so then you have to check them because you never know what's going on. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes that today, our tefillin are made with such thick leather, and our tefillin are made in such a good and such a high quality way, he says he feels that there's no reason to check the tefillin at all. And Adarab, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, sometimes it turns out, when you open up the tefillin too often, that's when they get ruined. Either a parsha gets lost, or they put in someone else's parshiyos by mistake when they're putting them in. And therefore, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, if there's no reason for you to assume that something went wrong, you have no reason to be worried and concerned about that at all. And you have a right to assume that a chazaka is a chazaka, and because when the tefillin were written, they were kosher, you have a right to assume that they are kosher later on down the line as well. The Mishkanos Yaakov wants to extrapolate from here. Very interesting. There's a discussion in Maseches Chulin about a treifa. We all know that the pasuk says you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to consume a treifa, an animal that is, I don't know how you would define a treifa, but treifa in a chayyid beis chodesh, but you don't know that now, right? So it's a defected animal, defected to the point that it would have been a fatal defect. So in that kind of case, the Gemara says, obviously, you're not allowed to eat such an animal. Now, not always do we know that an animal is a treifa. So the Gemara says, they have a discussion in the Rishonim about bedikas hareya, that after you shecht an animal, you have to go and check different parts of the animal, the lungs and certain vital organs, to make sure that there's no major puncture in the lung, that there's no major issue, and to make sure that this animal was, in fact, not really deemed a treifa. So the Mishkanos Yaakov wants to argue that perhaps that halacha, bedikas hatreifa, that you have to check to make sure that the animal is not treif, he says maybe that comes midaraisa as a halacha from the mitzvah of checking the tefillin. The same way you find that we learn from the pasuk v'shamarta esachuka ze'elamo adami yamim yamima, the pasuk in Parshas Bo, that you have an obligation to check your tefillin, says the Mishkanos Yaakov. From here we learn that you also have midaraisa, on a biblical level you have an obligation to check the animal after its slaughter to make sure that it was kosher. And says the Mishkanos Yaakov, this is something that we have an absolute obligation to do, and we have no right to rely ourselves and to base ourselves off of the chazaka. Because the same about tefillin, the Medrash says you don't have a right to rely on it, and the Gemara says as well, so too by Bedikas Hareya, this is not just the Chumr Midrabanan, this is an absolute Din D'Araisa. And the Meshech Chachma, the reason why I mention this is because the Meshech Chachma disputes this opinion of the Mishkanos Yaakov, and he says it is not able to be learned from tefillin, because there's a marked distinction between this case by tefillin and the case by a treifa. What is the difference? This touches upon what we spoke about last week. What's the difference? So last week, for those who were here, we had a whole shiur about Onas Rachmana Patri. So we know, the Gemara says, we learn from the Pasuk Ulanara Losasa Davar, that if somebody violates an Aver Ba'Onas, you're not going to get punished. It wasn't my fault. I was in a situation where my life was at stake. I had no kosher food. I didn't have anything that I could eat. I was going to lose my life. I was going to die. So I ate the treifa food. Is God going to punish me for that? No. Onas Rachmana Patri. What was I supposed to do? So we spoke about that. We spoke also last week about the Chassam Sofer and others who discuss what happens when you were an anus from performing a mitzvah. I didn't have a pair of tefillin. I was stuck in Siberia in the jail there, and I didn't have a pair of tefillin all the years that I was stuck in the jail. So what would he say? Anus Rachmana Patri. It's true. Says many Achronim, it's true, you're not going to get punished for not wearing the tefillin, because you didn't have an option, there was nothing you could have done, it wasn't your fault. However, you cannot say, Onus Kemanda Avidami. You cannot say it's as if I actually put the tefillin on. You're right, I'm not going to get punished for being mevatel the mitzvah saseh. But to tell me that it's as if I ate, as if I put on the tefillin, that cannot be. We mentioned last week in Machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, when it comes to an arel. So, what's the normal case of an arel? Means a person didn't get around to doing a bris milah. So we know that an arel is not allowed to eat truma. That's the pasuk in Chumash. Now, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam have a machlokas. What about a person who is mesu echav machmas milah? There's an illness in the family, hemophiliacs, and we're concerned. Two brothers already passed away because of the incision, because of the bris milah. And now we make sure that the third son absolutely does not have a bris. Why? Because it's pikuach nefesh. You're not allowed to give him a bris. Rashi and Tosas have a machlokas. Would you allow that child, who rightfully so doesn't have a bris, would you allow such a child to eat truma or not, if he was a Kohen? Do we call him an Arel? What's the crux of the issue? What's the disagreement about? So the answer pretty much is, yes, you're an Anus, you're not going to get punished over the fact that you have not given yourself a bris milah. What was I supposed to do? My family has some sort of problem, my family has an illness, and there's no way around it. However, can we consider it as if you had the bris milah done? Of course not. Onus lav kamanda avidam, you cannot consider it as if I actually did the bris milah. In the end of the day, I'm an arel. So this is a very important issue. Says the Meshech Chachma, if you take that logic and you transport it to our case, it is the very same question. Again, the Mishkan Es Yaakov, one of the great Gedolei Achronim, Marv, for those who are here for the 9:30, Marv is in the main shul. So the Mishkan Es Yaakov, don't feel bad walking out, it's okay. The Meshech Chachma quotes that the Mishkan Es Yaakov wanted to argue that you see from the fact that we have an obligation to check the tefillin, it must be we also have an obligation to check the animal after we shecht it to make sure it's not treif, to make sure it's not a non-kosher animal, to make sure there are no punctures in the lungs and any other fatal illnesses that the animal may have had. Says the Meshech Chachma, there's a major distinction between the two cases. When the Torah says you have to check the tefillin, that's because what? If you don't check the tefillin, and it turns out that your tefillin were pasul, what's the halacha? Ones lav kamanda avidami. You're stuck. It's as if you never wore tefillin in your life. So of course you have to check it. Says the Meshech Chachma, that cannot be compared to a case here where you shechted an animal, and to the best of your knowledge, you didn't know whether or not it was kosher or treif. Says the Meshech Chachma, what if happens in the end of the day if you ate that animal, and it turns out that it was treif, and you didn't have a right to eat it? Ones rachmona patri. I didn't do an aveira. So says the Meshech Chachma, based on the logic we said last week, there's no room to say that you can learn the story of Bedikas HaTreifa from the story of Bedikas HaTfilin. Is that clear? I think it's a very cogent argument. Yeah.
Bedikas HaTfilin in this case is also different than the RL in the other case. The RL, you never get off the ground.
I mean, the discussion can't start.
Correct.
Okay, that's true.
So does that change the ramification at all?
Certainly. There is a discussion that Taz and others have a discussion about. Let's say you have an Onen who is not allowed to daven, right? It's not just that he's not mechuyev to daven, it's that he's not allowed to daven. So the question that the Achronim raises, what happens after he's no longer an Onen? What would you say now that he's buried and he's done everything already? What would you say now? Should he go ahead and make up a tashlumin for the tefillah that he missed before? What would you say? What would you say now? What? He's potter, I would say. I'm an onus. It's not just that I chose not to daven. It's that there's no chiv at all. Chazal told me, do not daven under the circumstances. So do you say that now the person now becomes mechuyev again? Now that mincha time rolls around, do they have to daven to make up Shemona Esrei for Shachris also? That's a major discussion in the Achronim. Should we assume that or not? And it also ties into this discussion. Do you say when I'm an onus, it's kamanda avidami. It's as if I davened already. So Chazal gave me a p'tur. They said, today you're off the hook. Today you don't have to worry about it. And therefore, it's as if I've done it. Or do you say, no, I didn't have an obligation to do it, but you can't say it's as if I daven. So maybe there is such a thing as a makeup tefillah later on. That also ties into the discussion that you're mentioning. So here, that's the background to the first paragraph here. I see nobody has the paragraph here, but maybe next week we'll try to remember to bring it. Yeah.
You say in the case between your Rashi and Tosar says that he's not even considering an RL, that's why he can eat this
rumah. I'm sorry, that what?
Why does Tosar say he can eat this
rumah? Yeah.
In the case of not.
So Rabbi Yosef Engel assumes that Tosa says it's because once a person is an anus, it's as if I did it. But Rashi says it can't be. What do you mean? In the end of the day, look at the person. Are you an RL or are you not? Are you circumcised or are you not? Look at the person. Tomorrow morning, we come into the Siberian jail and we see, did you put on tefillin or did you not? The answer is he didn't wear tefillin. If he didn't wear tefillin, that's the end of the story. It's too bad. Are you going to get punished for not wearing tefillin? Of course not. But can you say it's as if I've actually worn the tefillin? It cannot be.
But why would wearing tefillin, you're even allowed to eat the truma? That would be counterintuitive.
So that's, Rabbi Yosef Engel assumes that that's because it's as if when we say you're an anus, what? The definition of an Arel is a person who chose not to do a bris milah. But over here, when a person was an anus and therefore didn't do the bris milah, so that's a different story. So that's the first paragraph here. He quotes that there's a discussion in the Yerushalmi and Erevin whether or not you have to check the tefillin. And that's also a discussion, like we said, in the Mechilta, whether or not you have to check the tefillin. And the Gemara Menachos is not even sure whether or not that's what the Pasuk is even referring to at all. And then he says, nowadays, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach tells us that because our tefillin are made in such a way that we don't have to worry about the quality of the tefillin and them running into any issues, what? And they're all sealed so well and no moisture is going to get in. So therefore he says, you're a complete anus. You had no thought that your tefillin were going to be pasul. Why should you have checked the tefillin over the last 20 years? Who would have thought that the tefillin was missing a few words? And therefore he says, as far as that's concerned, you're safe to assume that you were an anus. If you say that a person really has an obligation strictly to check his tefillin every year or to check it twice every 7 years, and then you say, you can't call me an anus. You were negligent. You should have done what you were supposed to do. You should have had them checked and you chose not to. So now that it turns out you weren't wearing kosher tefillin all along, it's your problem. But that's not really the halacha. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, and this is what others assume as well, that nowadays you don't really have an obligation to wear to check the tefillin because the tefillin are made in a different way. Next paragraph, in Nira. He says, not only do we say you won't be punished for being mevatel the mitzvah because you were an anus, because you had no idea that your tefillin were missing words, gam schar mitzvah yesh biyado. You also get the schar for doing the mitzvah. Why? By mitzvahs we assume lefum tzara agra. You went out of your way every day, you put on the tefillin, you made a bracha, you assumed you were doing the right thing. We have a right to assume that you did the right thing and you're going to get reward for that. How does he know this? Al kagon da nemar. On this it says in Maseches Brachos, chi shev adam lasos mitzvah. Listen carefully. A person who thinks that they are performing a mitzvah v'ne'anas velo asa'a, and for whatever reason you had an ones and therefore you were not able to do it, male olav akosuv ki'ilu asa'a, says the Gemara. Again, chi shev lasos mitzvah v'ne'anas ba. For whatever reason, a person wanted to do a mitzvah and then it turns out that the mitzvah slips by them and for whatever reason I'm not able to perform it, says the Gemara, male olav akosuv ki'ilu asa'a. So from here he wants to argue that not only will we say the person won't be punished in Shamayim for not wearing tefillin because onus rachmana patrei, but we have a right to say as well, you're going to get schar for wearing tefillin even though you never wear a pair of tefillin in your life. Now, that's a very problematic statement. Why is it a problematic statement? It's not a kasha on him, it's a kasha on the Gemara. The Gemara says, Chishev lasos mitzvah v'nenas. I wanted to do a mitzvah. Let's say, I'm a multimillionaire, I wanted to give out tzedakah, and I wanted to do all the wonderful things, and it turns out, someone cleared out my bank account. And all the tzedakah that I wanted to give, there's nothing left. I just had the story last week, an amazing story. I got a check from Avasher Weiss, somebody sent in a check, and the guy who takes care of the account sent it back to me, and he says, do you know this person? I said, yes. He says to me, well, his check bounced. So I was so embarrassed. What am I supposed to do? I'm going to go back to the person, tell them that his check bounced, but what am I supposed to do? Rav Asher Weiss should pay the money? So I didn't know what to do. So I said, look, I guess I better email him. So I was like hemming and hawing. It took me like a week and a half to put myself together to actually send an email. I sent an email. I said, I'm very embarrassed to do this, and I'm not going to tell anybody what happened, but I just want you to know that your check bounced, and I'm not going to tell Rav Asher Weiss either. You shouldn't think it's going to affect your relationship with him, but just tell me what you want me to do. So he writes back to me that his account was hacked, and they cleared out all the money in his bank account. And he was dealing with it there, and he dropped off a check at my house, a new one, after he resolved the problem. I said, you know, you never know. Sometimes you think, oh, why would a guy write a check? He's so irresponsible. And meanwhile, the guy's dealing, his whole bank account was cleared out, and I'm, you know, bothering him about this little check that he gave, but whatever, it was pretty embarrassing. Anyway, so the Gemara says, it happens once in a while. Chishev lasas mitzvah, I told the guy, Chishev lasas mitzvah, if your bank account was cleared out, you still wanted to do the mitzvah, you wanted to support a Talmud Chacham, you wanted to take care of a kollel or something, so he says, you know, bananas go, says the Gemara, ma'alav akasav kilu aso. The problem with that Gemara is the following, and just to give some background, let's study the following. The Navi Yirmiyahu was a very problematic Navi. Why was he a problematic Navi? Not because he did anything wrong, but because in his generation, let's just say he was not the most beloved Navi. He said the truth. Yirmiyahu HaNavi told everybody he was unyielding. He was very firm, and he told them that there was going to be a Churban Beis HaMikdash, and he told them how horrible they were. He was not a politically correct individual, and therefore, because of that, the community pretty much shunned him, and they pretty much rejected him, and they ostracized him, and they were torturing him, and they couldn't stand him, and they wanted to do everything to get rid of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Now, it wasn't only the Rishayim who were trying to start up with him, it was also some Tzadikim, who had a claim against Yirmiyahu HaNavi. How can you say there's going to be a Churban Beis HaMikdash? Do you not believe, do you not have emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save his Beis HaMikdash if he wants to? Who are you to tell us it's going to be destroyed? Who are you going to say that Yerushalayim is going to be ravaged and everything's going to be burnt? How can you say such a thing? Do you not have bitachon? Do you not have emunah? And therefore they felt Yirmiyahu HaNavi was a Navi HaSheker, and they really went after him. So, not only did they go after him, today when we go after people, we live in a democracy, so you don't go and beat the person up, you don't go and kill them. You write articles, you write blogs, you write Facebook posts, and you destroy their lives that way, which is pretty bad. In the days of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, they didn't have that option. What do they do then? So they used to write not only Pashkevilim, but they used to actually make the person suffer. So they took Yirmiyahu HaNavi and they threw him into a pit on numerous occasions, and they tried to kill him by throwing him into the pit. On one of those occasions, when Yirmiyahu HaNavi finds himself in a pit because he was thrown there, so Yirmiyahu HaNavi starts having a conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he says the following. It's an unbelievable story. The community said, let's try and destroy the life of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. We're not going to listen to him. How can we accept what he's saying? Yirmiyahu HaNavi is telling us these outlandish nevuos. We think he's a Navi HaSheker. We don't want to hear from him. So, what happened? Yirmiyahu HaNavi, on that occasion, after being thrown in the pit, when this happened, says, Hakshiva Hashem Elai. God, please do me a favor and listen to me. Ushma lekol yirivai. Take note of what my enemy is saying. Listen to what they're saying about me. Listen how they're attacking, how they are rejecting the nevuah that you are giving to me. Listen how horrible these people are. And he goes crazy. And the Medrash says, I'm sorry, the Navi says, he goes off on these people. It's unbelievable what he asked, that God should punish them. He says, Ki karu shucha lenafshi, they threw me into a pit. Zacharamdi lefanecha ledaber aleihem tova lahashiv es chamascha mehem. Don't you remember that I stood and I defended them when you wanted to destroy all of them? I stood up and I made sure that you wouldn't. Lachain, and he says, look, this is the payment that I get. This is the response. You throw me into a pit, you destroy my life. Lachain, he says, Tein es b'neim l'rav. I wish it upon all them, says Yirmiyahu HaNavi, that their children should die from a famine. And some members of the community should be killed by sword. And their wives should be left as almanos. He's not mincing words. Now you can see why they didn't like Yirmiyahu. This is obviously the way he used to talk. So, they should go out to war, they should all be killed, they should lose their lives, battered families, children dying, everything. They should suffer so much. There should be like an outrage in the city that nobody's going to know what hit them. Because they had the nerve to throw me into this pit. That's the tefillah that he offers. You know, God, good and well, what they tried to do to me. You understand what's going on here. Don't ever forgive them for what they did. This is the famous story of Anshei Anassos. These were the men, the members of the community of Anassos, and they were the ones who took out this horrible retribution against Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and now Yirmiyahu HaNavi is davening that they should be destroyed and they should be killed and everything should be horrible in that city and they should never be successful. But the final thing that he asked for is, V'yihiyu michshalem lefanecha be'eis apcha asei bahem. When you're angry at them, you should smack them. Yihiyu michshalem lefanecha, they should be nichshal, they should do the wrong thing when you're angry. You know, sometimes when a parent gets angry, the smartest thing is not to respond to your children. You know, your child does something to you. If you respond in anger, you know, you're going to do something that's totally out of proportion to what the child really deserved. So if you wait a couple of seconds, you wait a couple of minutes, usually you'll get back to yourself and you understand that the punishment you were going to give 5 minutes ago to your child doesn't really match the crime that they did. Over here, Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, no, you should be angry at them. And at the time that you're angry, that's when you should punish them. Don't wait till later till you calm down. Do it so that it's totally out of proportion because they deserve it, and these people are horrible, and look what they're trying to do, and they're denying the existence of a Navi in the world, and they don't want to hear the Dvar Hashem. Yirmiyahu goes crazy. Fine, that's the story with Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Says the Gemara Baba Kama, What does it mean when the last line that Yirmiyahu Navi's tefillah offered is, Yihyu mechshalim lefanecha? They should be nichshal. They should do something wrong. What does it mean they should do something wrong? What do you want them to do, averus? God's not going to be happy about that. So what are you asking for? Says the Gemara, Amar Yirmiyahu lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was asking the Ribbono Shel Olam the following. Ribbono Shel Olam, I ask of you, not only should you take out revenge against these people, but I ask of you also, that afilu b'shah sha'osim tzedakah, even when these people decide on a good day that they want to be tzaddikim, that they want to give tzedakah, that they want to be charitable people, hechshilam b'bnei adam she'enem huganim, make sure that they give the money to people who are swindlers, to the scammers. Make sure they give the money to the fraudsters who aren't really aniyim. Kidei shelo yukablu aleihem schar, in order that this way they will get no compensation, they will get no reward, no remuneration for the mitzvah that they're doing. So, Anshei Anosas are horrible people, they try to kill Yirmiyahu, but on one day they say, you know, I feel bad for what I did. Let me go to an ani in the street, let me give the homeless man something to eat. Says Yirmiyahu, make sure that when they have those thoughts that they want to give tzedakah, make sure they give it to the wrong people. Because if they give it to the wrong people, they won't get schar. Oh, they won't get schar? What do you mean they won't get schar? What's that all about? How can it be they won't get schar? Didn't we just learn the Gemara says in Brachos, Chishev lasos mitzvah v'nenas ba malavakasav kilu aso. It's not my fault. Somebody comes to my door and he's crying and he has all the letters from all the great people that you ever heard of, whether they're alive or they're not alive. They died 100 years ago. You still have letters from them. So the question is, what am I supposed to think? What am I supposed to think? Right, my father always used to joke with us. Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik still gives the Ashgach on Streitz Matzahs, right? I was at his Levaya 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So, you know, sometimes you have letters from people who are no longer here. I'm sure it's a good Ashgach, I just, you know. So, what? It's a son? His son can't have the same name as him. Oh, I don't know. I don't know the politics, but I always thought it was funny. So anyway, so the question is, you know, an ani comes to my door and he gives me all the letters and I give him tzedakah because I think he's a poor man in earnest and I really think that he deserves the money, and it turns out he was a good con artist and he got me to give him a big check. I get no schar for that, says the Gemara Baba Kama. If I give it to the wrong person, I get no schar. And we have the Gemara Baba Basra says the same thing. In the very beginning of Baba Basra, the Gemara speaks about many different issues regarding tzedakah. And there the Gemara says, Kala rodef acharat tzedakah, somebody who's careful to really want to give tzedakah properly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamsi lo mos va'osu behem tzedakah. Hashem is going to make sure that you have money to give. If you really want to give, you'll have the money to give. Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak Omer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamsi lo b'nei adam mehuganim. If you really sincerely want to give tzedakah, God will make sure that He puts in front of you legitimate and authentic and genuine rightful aniyim who really need the money, kidei lekabel aleihem schar. So what does that Gemara mean? It sounds like if you give it to the wrong person, you get nothing. Why do I get nothing? Chishev lasas mitzvah v'nenas ba. I wrote out a $1,000 check. I wrote out a $10,000 check. I gave away my money. It hurt me to give away the money. I gave it to somebody who I thought was an ani. I thought I was doing the mitzvah. I get nothing? How can that be? So, l'may said I didn't put on tefillin. No, what's the difference?
When you want to do a mitzvah and something's preventing you from doing a mitzvah, kilu aso.
Okay.
Here he's doing something, he's not doing anything.
God, what do you mean? I'm putting on an empty boxes of tefillin. There's nothing in them. I wanted to do a mitzvah. It turns out I was doing nothing. Why is that different than I wanted to give the $1,000 check to the ani and it turns out it was nothing? He wasn't an ani and my money went to nowhere. So we have a Gemara Maseches Sukkah where the Gemara says, trying to compare and contrast Gemilas Chasadim with Tzedakah. So the Gemara says, Gedola Gemilas Chasadim Yoser Menat Tzedakah. Why is Gemilas Chasadim more than Tzedakah? So the Gemara says a number of reasons. And the Gemara there writes that Gemilas Chasadim is compared to a person who harvests, and Tzedakah is compared to a person who plants. Says the Ein Yaakov on that Gemara. Why? Why is Gemilas Chasadim considered like harvesting, and Tzedakah is considered like planting? Says the Ein Yaakov, the answer is because Gemilas Chasadim, when you do someone a favor, it's obvious that you're doing the mitzvah. There's no suffix about whether or not you're going to get schar for that. Of course, I went and I helped somebody do something that they were having difficulty taking care of, so I'm going to get schar for that. When I give someone tzedakah, it's like planting. You don't always know what the outcome is going to be. You give a check, and unfortunately we know, every once in a while you give a check to an organization that didn't deserve it, or that didn't need it, or that didn't use it wisely. Turns out you really didn't do the mitzvah. Same way, when I go and I plant seeds in the ground, not always is it clear that the outcome is going to be a positive one. Not always does something grow from it. So therefore, the Gemara says, giving tzedakah is something that we have to be very careful about. You have to use your discretion, and you have to think very carefully before you give tzedakah. What you see from all this is, it seems clear that the Gemara has two conflicting principles. On the one hand, the Gemara says, Chishev lasas mitzvah v'nenesba. If I had intention to do a mitzvah, and it turns out that I was an anus, for whatever reason something came up and I couldn't do it, it's considered as if I've done the mitzvah and I don't have to worry. On the other hand, the Gemara says that what? The story by Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Anshei Anosos, he gives them a curse that even when they want to give tzedakah, they should give it to the wrong person. So what? So Yirmiyahu HaNavi says if they give it to the wrong person, they get no credit at all. They get no schar at all. Why do I get no schar? Isn't that Chishev Lasas Mitzvah Ananas? Shouldn't it be the same? It's a good question. So forget tefillin for now. Forget tefillin for now. That could be true. You see, you started off with a chazakah. Forget the suggestion of tefillin. What about the Gemara says over here? Chishev lasas mitzvah v'nanas. Something else. I thought I was keeping Shabbos because I thought today was Shabbos. It turns out it was Monday. Right? So do I get points for that? I always wonder. Maybe it's not a nice thing to say, but I wonder about this a lot. I recently had an interaction, very pleasant interaction, spent many hours with a conservative rabbi. We co-officiated at a funeral together. It's very interesting. So, it was an experience. Nope. What can he do? So, this conservative rabbi, we were talking a lot over the experience. And I thought about it afterward. You know, here's a guy who grew up his whole life that this is the derech, that this is the right way. And he decided to give his life over to Klal Yisrael in the way that he thinks is the right way. Correct? So he went to their schools, and he's teaching a hashkafa that's apikursos. But he's giving his whole life over to the klal. So I was wondering after that experience with him, and I've wondered this for a long time, what's going to happen to Acher Meiv Esrim Shana? He's going to come upstairs, and God's going to say to him, sorry, you played for the wrong team? But what do you mean? I could have been a doctor, I could have been a lawyer, I could have been an accountant, I could have been doing other things in my life. I decided to give up my life to be in the Rabbanus and to inspire my people and to give drushas and shiurim like you can't imagine. What? Of course he's a tinnik shenishma. What happens? Does he get schar? Like, he's a chishev lasas mitzvah, but he's just like going in the wrong direction. I don't know. I don't ever think about this. Am I the only one? I was wondering that. So how do you draw the line? How do you understand? Where is the difference between Chishev Lasas Mitzvah and Anasba? He's playing for the wrong team. He's pushing people in the wrong direction, away from Yiddishkeit. He's pushing them toward intermarriage. Is he going to get schar for that? He thinks he's doing the right thing. What's going to be with him? Wonderful guy, but what's going to be? Is he going to get schar? I don't know. So this is the kasha. On the one hand, we have the Gemara says, Chishev Lasas Mitzvah and Anas. Turns out I was raised in a certain way. I didn't know anything. So what are you supposed to do? So you do get schar. On the other hand, we have the story by tzedakah that is not the case. So that's a very important question. How do you draw the distinction between those two? My father always likes to say over that the distinction is very obvious. There's a difference between mitzvah sheben adam lamakom and mitzvah sheben adam lachavero. The Gemara says, Chishev lasas mitzvah v'nenasba. If I thought I was keeping Shabbos, and it turns out my whole life I was keeping Sunday, I had no idea. I live in the North Pole. I didn't know what the days were. There's nobody around me. I have no communication. Turns out I was keeping the wrong day Shabbos my whole life. Okay? I get schar. I thought I was doing the right thing. That's been out of my makom. God could say, you know what? It's as if you've done it. It's okay. I'm willing to forgive it. It's all right. But when you're talking about ben adam l'chaver, the mitzvah here is that your money should get into the pocket of the poor man who needs it. Did that happen in the end of the day? Mitzvah shebein adam l'chavero depend on the totsa'a. It depends on the result. Did you accomplish the goal that we wanted you to accomplish or not? If the answer to that is no, doesn't matter how well-intentioned you were, doesn't matter how much you thought about it, doesn't matter how big a tzaddik you are. In the end of the day, if the chesed didn't get done, if the tzedakah didn't get to the place where it was supposed to get, to the right address, it turns out you have done absolutely nothing. As sad as that is, but that's the reality. My father always likes to say that, you know, Ira Renard is one of the big philanthropists that we have in the Orthodox world. And my father always says that he has a big mazel. Not every wealthy person who gives money gives it to the right causes. And you see this man, and his name is on things that are such worthy causes. He prints the most amazing svarim, right? He puts his name on all of Reb Nevin Sal's Mishnah Berurahs that are like the bestsellers, and the Mincha Shlomo, Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach's Tshuvas, and all the great things that come out, he has his name on. It's a mazel that you need to be able to do that. It doesn't work for everybody. It doesn't always happen. Not every person who has money to give away to tzedakah always gives it to the right causes. Now, I don't know where else he gives. Maybe some of them are right, some of them are wrong, but it requires a mazel, because when you talk about mitzvah shaven adam lachaveiro, the bottom line, the factor that you have to consider is, did the totzah, did the result actually happen, or perhaps not? And that's why we can draw a distinction between the story about Anshei Anasas. Yirmiyahu Navi says, when we're talking about giving tzedakah, if it doesn't get to the rightful place where it's supposed to be there, that's the end. It's too bad. You have not fulfilled your mitzvah. However, when we talk about tefillin, that's a very different case. And we have the right to assume, chishiv lasas mitzvah v'nenas ba, mala lava kasev ki'ilu asa. Now, what? Yeah. So the simple understanding is, if a person is going to do a chesed, and it turns out they're not able to, so, you know, yeah. You don't get schar for doing the mitzvah. Again, you won't be punished for not doing it.
No, that's a mitzvah.
Yeah. That's what it seems. That's what it would seem. So that's a discussion. How do you figure out these two ma'amari chazal? On the one hand, it says you do get schar. On the other hand, it says you don't. Look at the last paragraph on this page. You dalid. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, if you do tshuva, so you're gonna get forgiven for it. You don't have to worry. One final point he says is, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, it says that a head that didn't wear tefillin is going to be punished. Terrible things are going to happen. You're not going to be let into Gan Eden or something. The Gemara, I forgot what the Gemara says. Some terrible thing if a person doesn't wear tefillin. So what does it mean? So what's going to be? I didn't wear tefillin all those years. He says, Dvarim b'teilim ein. That's not something to worry about at all. It's Dvarim b'teilim. What do you mean it's Dvarim b'teilim? That's what the Gemara says. No. Dibimimimimimimimimimimimim zet nemar kamra pirushim. That's not what the Gemara means when it says that karkafta de lamanach tefillin is going to be punished. That means, shalo hi niach kol yomav. It means a person who never wore tefillin his entire life. You went through your whole life and he knew about the mitzvah of tefillin and he chose not to wear it. That's a karkafta de lamanach tefillin. You know, sometimes in high schools, unfortunately, much to our dismay, we know that some high school kids don't always wear tefillin every day, as they're supposed to, unfortunately. We all know when school's on vacation, every so often you find a pair of tefillin way after the vacation and somehow they were there for 2 weeks, it didn't bother anybody. So unfortunately it happens, and sometimes they're obeying and want to scare the Talmidim, so they say, oh, you know what the Gemara says, karkafta de lamanach tefillin. Something bad is going to happen to you. None of you ever heard this? Some rabbeim say this. I don't think it's the right thing to say. But aside from it not being the right thing to say, it's the wrong thing to say because it's not the pshat in the Gemara. Many assume the pshat in the Gemara is not somebody who's mevatel the mitzvah of tefillin one time in their life. Karkafta de lamanach tefillin means a person who goes through an entire experience of life never wearing tefillin. That's where the Gemara says you're going to be punished. That's where the Gemara says it means something special. And some say, Rabbi Natam says the reason that the Gemara takes it so seriously, someone who doesn't wear tefillin, is we're talking about a case where a person says, I hate the tefillin, I'm disgusted by them, I don't want to wear them, I want to have nothing to do with them. That's the situation that we're talking about. But stam a person who sincerely walks into shul every day, puts on the tefillin because they think they're doing the mitzvah, and it turns out they haven't been wearing all along because they were empty boxes, there was nothing in them, or the parshas were puzzle. You can't say that person is considered a karkafta de la manach tefillin. You can't say that person is going to be punished. Ach benina didan, shelibo shavar v'rotzitzal shelo zecha l'kayim ha-mitzvah. A person is broken, he's depressed, he's upset over the fact that he cannot do the mitzvah because all those years he had puzzle the tefillin, v'od shemekayim ha-mikan v'elech behidu rabu v'simcha gedola. Now, certainly when you bought yourself a new, beautiful pair of tefillin, you made sure they were mehudar, and you made sure to do it carefully every day. Ma'achar shehishkiah hon rabba asiyas ha'tefillin mehudaris. He spent so much money on buying the new tefillin. Pashut kebeis ha'bekutcha. He says it's obvious. Doesn't even have to be proven. De lo shayach klal leklalo bechlal poshe Yisrael begufa. You cannot call this guy a posheya. This guy is an onus. And the halacha is onus rachman ha'patri. The halacha is also that chishev lasas mitzvah v'nenas ba, you get schar as if you've done it. And not only that, he says, you cannot call this person a karkafta l'lamanach tefillin, because in the end of the day, he tried to wear tefillin, and he thought he was wearing tefillin, and the rest of his life he's planning to wear tefillin. He bought the most mehudar pair of tefillin now, and he hopes that he will be able to make up for the horrible error that he made until this point. So that's basically the gist of the issue, and I think it's an important argument, not only for the mitzvah of tefillin, but every so often you have a situation where a person is faced with a circumstance where they were not able to perform a mitzvah. And the question is, what should our attitude be when we are unable to perform a mitzvah? First of all, the discussion we had is, anas rachmana patre. That's certainly the case. What that means when it comes to not being mekayim a mitzvah, that's a discussion that we had last week. Doesn't mean it's actually as if I have been mekayim it, or do you say no? You have not been mekayim the mitzvah, but we don't punish the person for being mevatel the mitzvah sesi. That was a discussion that we had last week, but that plays very much into our discussion here tonight as well. We spoke about the obligation, whether or not we have to check our tefillin, and that will have a ramification in this case, because we have to figure out, should we assume that the person is now considered to be an anus, because my tefillin was pasul and I didn't know, or would you say I'm a posheya? You should have checked your tefillin over the last 10 years, and you chose not to, and because you chose not to, it's your fault, and therefore you get punished for that. So the answer is, today we generally assume that the mitzvah, the chiva, bedikas ha-tefillin, is not really applicable anymore, because our tefillin are made in a very specific way, our tefillin are very strong, and therefore the quality is so high, we don't assume that there's going to be any issue with the tefillin later on, and you have a right to rely on the chazakah that the tefillin were kosher when they were written, and therefore they continue to be kosher today as well. That is the basic story, and Amir Tosham, we will continue next week.